in a world that is hostile to the gospel, and the whole teaching of the book leans toward teaching them how to endure suffering and to have hope in Christ and joy in Christ, and to not think some strange thing is happening to them because they suffer in this world. The world is hostile to Christ. He reminds them in chapter 4, the first 6 verses, that they once were hostile to Christ and bent their life on indulgence of the lust of the flesh, and that was their hope. But God brought them out of darkness into light, and they are to live in this world as lights. But in the middle of this chapter on suffering, he begins at verse 7 and goes through verse 11 to tell them one of their comforts in the midst of suffering is the body of Christ. Christians treating each other as Christians, being a comfort to each other while they endure suffering in this life. And he tells them how to do that, how to live together in a way that they draw strength to face a world that is hostile to Christ and to God's people. And he says in 1 Peter 4:7, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And then he begins in verse 12 again. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you." The fellowship and the love and concern of other Christians is meant to be that comfort for us in this life, as well as our relationship to Christ. And there are some things that he lists here that are necessary among the body of Christ in order to foster that fellowship and to be a comfort to one another. And we've already seen in verse 7 that he tells them they need to remember that the end of all things is at hand. Suffering will not be forever, whether they first meet Christ by death or they meet him in the air when he returns and settles all things. It will not continue forever, that there is an end, and it's very close. It's at hand. And so there is to be a response to that, to be of sound judgment, to think clearly about things, to have the right priorities in our life, to not depend upon the things of this world or the people of this world for our comfort, but to think with sober judgment, sound judgment, that Christ is our first hope, and also to be dedicated to the purpose of prayer, that prayer is to be an integral part of our lives, both individually and corporately, in order for us to live in this world and to have hope in this world. In verse 8, we saw briefly last time that he talks about the love that's to be among Christians, and he tells them, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. There is a zeal to the love that Christians are to have toward each other. They are to stir themselves up to love each other. And when they are sinned against, as happens in every body of Christ, the love that they have been granted in Jesus Christ is to be their only hope, so that they may be able to let the love for the saints cover their sins, to not hold grudges, to not make mountains out of molehills, to not let things eat away within, because love covers a multitude of sins. God doesn't do that with his people. The grace of Christ is there when he grants forgiveness to us. He does not hold grudges against us. He treats us as freshly forgiven and walking forth into the world. And we as believers are to do the same, to not let everything that we see and everything that happens to us become such a burden that we cannot forgive. The first call of the gospel, Jesus said to his disciples, is to love one another as I have loved you. And that means sacrificially, freely, unconditionally. And so we are to love one another. But there is something in verse 9 that I want to mention, especially tonight. It's a way to show love to one another. And I want you to notice that this is not an option. It is a command to be hospitable to one another without complaint. And that word hospitable has, it's a compound word that has two other words that make it up. Two words that make it up. And the first part of that word is brotherly, philo. And the second part of that word is xenos, philoxenos. Xenos means entertaining or serving or showing hospitality. And so it could be translated, show brotherly entertainment to one another without complaint. The word hospitable especially has to do with letting people stay in your home, lodging. And one of those words is used in Philemon 22 and also in Acts 28, places where lodging was provided for Christians who were traveling through the Roman Empire and through cities. So it especially has that idea. But it is also a word that means getting together as believers in your home, being hospitable to one another without complaint. In 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, it's used as one of the qualifications for an overseer, that he tries to be hospitable in his home. In Romans chapter 12, among the list of responsibilities to Christians in the church, they are called to be hospitable to one another. And notice how he says it, without complaint. Now there's some applications of verse 9 that need to be remembered. And first of all, it's a command that Christians are to look upon it as one of the commandments of God, just as much as one of the Ten Commandments. All of the commands of God are for us to incorporate in our lives. And we need to sit down periodically and ask, are we being hospitable as God has commanded us? And to whom are we to be hospitable? It says to one another. Not to a few. Not to those whom we prefer. Not to a small group that we like to be with and ignore a part of Christ's body that we feel uncomfortable with. But to one another means all who are God's people in this place. Be hospitable to one another. And the second thing about this is that it is a command for each Christian to employ instead of complaining about what others are not doing for them. There is never a place in the New Testament where the Christian is called to take offense for what has not been done to them. In every case where Christians are called to love one another, the responsibility is on the individual to take initiative to serve others, not to be served. And he says so in this passage, as each one has received a gift, employ it in serving one another. Most of the time, problems in churches between brethren or complaints about the body of Christ not being loving comes from those who feel like they've not been treated right. There is no place in the New Testament where the Christian has the privilege to feel that way. That we are all, the moment we enter into the body of Christ, commanded to serve others. Our Lord told his disciples who were standing around talking about how great each of them were and how the others would be serving them because one might be granted a higher place in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, "The greatest among you shall be the servant of all." And then he said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many." The radical demands of self-denial are meant to call Christians to be more concerned for others than they are for themselves, to look out for the interest of others rather than their own interest. And in most situations in the churches I've been in where there's some kind of complaint about hospitality, it usually comes from those who are not practicing it. And if there is a great need for hospitality and to minister to the saints of God, the response ought to be, "Christ has called me to be hospitable. If no one else in this church has or is." And then he makes real plain that if you are hospitable, that it's to be done without complaint, without grumbling, without complaining. "Well, I guess I need to have them over. They had us over." Or, "Well, I guess I need to have this brother or this family over. We don't have a whole lot in common. Let's eat quick, have dessert, and it'll be over with. We can all go home." Heaven is a place where everyone for whom Jesus Christ died will be together and live together eternally. On earth, we have a training ground on how to do that, and it's called the local church. We are called to be hospitable to each other without complaint. All of us stumble in many ways, but I want to encourage you tonight to renew your commitment to obey this commandment, to be hospitable, to ask others into your home if no one asked you into your home. There are times when I pastored as a church, pastored a church where Debbie and I went for over a year, and sometimes longer than that, having never been asked into a home in the church, even if we were asking others into our own home. It would have been very easy for us to say, "Well, no one cares for our soul. We're getting out of here." And so someone might say to me as a pastor, "Why did you move from that church?" "Well, nobody asked us over for dinner." How silly, how insignificant, and how self-centered that would be for a pastor to desert a flock because no one asked him into their home. And it is no less a commitment for us to join the Church of Christ and commit ourselves to serving one another. If you see a need for hospitality, then practice it. There are those that are lonely. There are those that need encouragement. There are those from broken homes. There are those who need fellowship. Those who work hard and are isolated. And we are called to practice hospitality. In Acts chapter 2, there was a mark of the early church. In verse 43, that shows that they opened their homes to each other for hospitality, especially at meals. And the result was that the fellowship and love of the body was strengthened. And as people observed this church and their commitment to Christ and to each other, the Lord used that as a testimony to the unconditional love and seeking grace of Jesus Christ, so that many were added to this church. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as any might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. For Christians who live in a world without Christ and sometimes who endure great hardship in school and in work and in families, the Church of Christ is meant to be a place where we not only worship together, but practice hospitality together. Without complaint. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. The first thing that the Bible says will happen when Jesus Christ comes again is that he will institute the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we will all be gathered around for a great feast of thanksgiving. And one of the parables of Jesus says that he will gird himself and serve us. Surely we should do the same on earth. Let us pray. We thank you, Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ, whose crucifixion tells us how far he would go to serve us. And we thank you for the joy that awaits us when we sit down with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And how amazing it will be to us that he would humble himself so far to once again gird himself with a servant's towel somehow and serve us. And we ask that you would help us to have this attitude on earth, this seeking of others in hospitality, this serving of others, to not complain about what has not been done to us, but to be more interested in what we can do for others, to love one another as Christ has first loved us, and help us to do it without complaint. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.